Hello, and welcome to episode 218 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, a place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mouse from Mars, and this week I'm joined by the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the writer of Making Comics with Springworth, Tony Esmond.
Literally, no matter how aggressively shouting at each other we are before we come on, only in a fun way, folks, yeah. You managed to sound all innocent when you do the little intro. Literally, we were screaming at each other, and then like suddenly, click, you're in character, off we go.
Yeah,
I'm very impressed with that, by the way. I just want to say that.
You just got to get your game face on when you make a podcast.
lot to be angry about, isn't there?
Yeah.
There is a
you're
lot to be angry
on
about.
Buses,
I think there's a grumpy old comics fans episode in the future again, another one. But not today. Not today.
We've got to talk about one of the ones. I've ordered something off eBay because I think we're doing one. I'm very excited by it.
This would be good. This week is another episode in our step by step the comics making process series. Thank you for all the support
Great numbers on last week. We were recording early this week.
Yeah.
We haven't got all numbers in, but they're really high again. And thanks to everyone sort of have started listening and or enjoying it. We've had some nice comments from people actually.
Yeah, and we truly appreciate all the people that have been checking out the show, whether you be new listeners or just regulars. We love you all. You know it, and hopefully you're getting lots of info and tips, of which there'll be more this week because we're on to stage six. Can you believe it? Yeah, there may be a seven. We're sort of debating
sixth
it.
Base.
Yeah, we're at sixth base. Christ. So the next Lord part will knows. Be coming out very soon.
Blumpkin.
But are you going to put off the sponsorship ad? I'll tell you what, why don't you do the sponsorship ads?
Let's do the sponsorship ads.
No, I'm just going to let you two do them. Go on. Go on. Go on.
Do you know where else you can get Blumpkins? Oh, you can't really.
No.
Do you know
what if there's a comic on Comic House that has Blumpkins in it? Probably not.
Yeah, they're all there though, maybe.
What it does have is a ton of quality comics, though.
It does, yeah.
And you can get all of that for just £3 a month. Is that correct?
Yeah.
It's like the Netflix. Oh, Vince is letting this crash and burn.
Vince, come back.
Comic House are our sponsor, and they are the indie comic marketplace with a difference. That fights the good fight for indie comics, unlike these two who just don't know what they're talking about.
We can't fight a good fight.
But you did all right. You're doing all right. But yes, on their website, you can check out loads of comics, and you can self-publish and put your comics on there. You can put them on the database for free, and it's another avenue to sell your comics. But they've also got an amazing app that we check out each week. I've got a little sort of to read piling up on Comic House. I like to do that with digital comics, just sort of let them, much like the to read pile, I guess, of physical copies.
Terrific growing out the window of my house.
Yeah, I know, but you don't get that with the Comic House app because you've got so many independent comics on there at your beck and call. What sort of stuff have they got there on them at the moment?
Well, breaking news, we've had Gods of Men comic. Issue 1 and 2 have been uploaded to the Comic House app.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of superhumans battling it out, Invincible style with a dark twist. That's the comic for you.
Yes. You can describe my bit in a review recently as if Liefeld knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
That's a little catch line for you there.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, thank you.
Was that you?
Good stuff. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You got away with
words. I love you, Rob, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if Rob Liefeld wants to come on the show, we'll take back everything.
Yeah, we'll do an Inking in the Car episode.
We're shameless.
I take my hat off to him for that bloke he's having to deal with. That would really get to me.
Yes.
The bloke who can't really type properly, but now owns all of his characters from Extreme Studios. Whose name I can't remember, and even if I did know, I probably wouldn't say. Yeah.
Just imagine that. Like, you create all these characters, they've done well by you, people know you by them, and then someone else owns the copyright. Just seems to be a bit of an incompetent who has no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, as soon as he releases Youngblood, he's going to get 300,000 sales on it.
Well, you don't get that nonsense on Comic House because you just get nothing but great
people
comics.
In and out of the room.
The commander came in and had a word.
You live with Commander Riker. That's welcome.
Whenever like someone knocks on the door, Dan, do you go, come?
Someone's at the door.
Yeah. Somebody at the door. And there's nothing but great comics on Comic House. If you go to comichouse.com, find out more about the service and everything that they do. It's only £3 a month, and there's a 14-day free trial. So, you know, and they put up with these ads, which is terrible. But we'll do better next week, Pete. We promise.
Yes, can't do much worse.
That's true.
Can I quickly mention that lovely email sent in by Lucas?
Yes, you can.
Nice.
Got Lucas Sassy. Is that your name? So we'll murder your name like we do on everyone else's on the podcast. Yeah. Sent us an absolutely fantastic email about how we enjoyed the show. And we such a pleasure to have people like you listening, Lucas. Thank you.
Yeah, that was really nice. That cheered us right up the other morning.
Yeah, very nice. Yes, thank you very much for the email, because it cheered us up. On these times where...
These dark days.
Yeah, dark days where people are fighting over licenses, or, you know, some sort of ruckus is kicking off on social media, where, you know, everything gets solved on social media.
It's best place to solve everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know,
never mind the courts or parliament or actually meeting someone discussing something. Yeah. Just go to Twitter. That's the best way.
And comics Twitter is a feisty place. But in amongst all of this stuff, there's you wonderful, lovely people out there who are just wanting to read comics and make comics and just generally promoting comics. And, thank you to anyone that gets some sort of entertainment out of the show and, you know, checks out new comics because of it.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so thank you.
I've got some breaking news.
Oh, go on.
I've joined an art class.
Really?
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. Very excited.
You've been stepping up and doing some art.
Well, I've been doing. I'm going to deny the stepping up bit. Well, I'm quite a good dancer. But I've been having a go at it.
We all want to see that now, don't we?
Wait till Nottingham, my friend.
Oh,
yeah. I'm convinced.
Do you think the three of us should organise like a dance, which we all do, and it's like our trademark dance?
Probably no, because you'll never do it.
That's true.
You'd probably be on the end and then not do it.
He'll just let us do it. He'll bottle it in the last moment. You know he will.
I've got an amazing dance lined up. So what is it I'll do on the night? You guys go first.
It's like last ketchup.
Yeah. Oh God.
Your art class, like, I feel like if anyone kind of like puts a bit of time and effort into trying to get better at a skill, they'll succeed, and I think they'll do well.
I just wanted something to push me on a little bit. Do you know what I mean? It's a leaflet come through the door, and I was sitting there trying to draw something as usual, and I thought, what good timing. So I just rang them up and paid a small amount of money, not much, and I'm going to this like art class on Monday.
Nice.
Brilliant.
Well done, dude.
To let us know how you get on.
Yeah, look forward. You know he's going to WhatsApp us some pictures.
Yeah.
You know I am.
And whatever art he does.
I was talking about a life drawing model the night before on the show.
Is that what Tony's doing? Is he the model for a life drawing class? Is that what
the bloke got his knob out a lot?
Yeah, most of them do in the life drawing, unfortunately.
What's wrong with people?
Are you sure it's life drawing you're turning that for?
People have clothes on it most of the life, you know. But why do they have to be naked? I don't understand this. If you walk down the street and you want to draw real life, how many people do you see naked? I barely see myself naked. You know what I mean?
I often see that woman who lives across naked, but...
You're in our gardens.
It's the telephoto lens. I don't know, kind of like, for us comic artists, it's really handy because you can kind of like see how the body works and the muscles kind of...
They've been spreading that lie for years, just so you can see dongs and boobs. That's the... I get what you mean, man.
Yeah. And no offense to the life drawing models that I've drawn over the years. They're not like A quality. You're not. It's just.
Now, once again, I thought it was just the Comic House ad that I thought I'd have to rescue, but it seems I've got to rescue the entire show.
We've got someone coming in we don't know, so we're just getting it out of our system. Think of it that way, V.
Yeah.
Think of it as.
I'm just trying to save your reputations.
Yeah. We?
We've already said dongs and boobs, and we haven't even.
Let's get it out quickly. Kickstarter, go and get out, do a Kickstarter. Let's get that out quickly.
No, let's do that in the shout outs. Yeah, there's a structure. There's a structure that always has been, and we have to stick to it. And right now, it just feels like this conversation. You be quiet, Esmond. You be quiet. Yeah, before this, when it's just the three of us, it just goes completely off the rails, and we just have nothing but fun, and then we get nothing done. But right now, you people want the next part of the comic making process, which is about printing this week, and we're getting onto the finished product. So we did a little interview, and we're not going to spoil it. You'll find out in a second. And here it is for your listening pleasure. Right, as we said, it's part 6 of our step-by-step series we've named The Comic Making Process, which makes us sound all like serious and stuff, doesn't it? But, or yeah. Like we know what we're talking about when really we don't. But so far we've discussed all the creative steps you'll undertake when putting together a comic book, from writing all the way up until editing. But before you can take your work of art onto the convention circuit, you'll need to make it a physical reality and get it printed. And that is an adventure in itself. So yes. With that in mind, we've drafted in Adam Smith from Mixam Printing to talk about like printing and stuff like that. Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Hey, hello.
Good.
We are good. And we're nerdy on this show anyway, so we like talking about printing and stuff like that. So
yes, all right.
Yeah, it's all good. But I think obviously we live in a world where digital content is sort of more prevalent than ever. And I know certainly we're definitely going to cover that side of comics soon. But I think most of our listeners are fans of, and us are fans of printed books. We're so like single issues, graphic novels, art books, whatever it's going to be. We're all suckers for nicely printed comics or that sort of material, aren't we? I think we're still fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, I think, at conventions, if you're doing a convention, let's be honest, you're going to need physical media and you're going to need your comics, and you want your comics to look the best they can possibly be. And in this day and age, they can be, can't they? The options available to you are essentially, I want to say limitless. Is that right, Adam?
Yeah,
I'd say limitless. You can do pretty much whatever you want within reason.
Yeah. I mean, there will always be the questions, can I do this? And then you have to tell people, yes, you can do this, but it'll cost you this.
Yeah.
And that changes.
That's usually the way, yeah.
I want a die cut, like gloss cover or whatever, foil cover. Print.
Yep. Yeah, and it's not until you ask those, there's not until you ask those questions that you realise how much has gone into those books that you love that have these covers, and they've got these embossing and they've got this laminate and things like that. But we may be talking about things that you lovely people don't necessarily know about at the moment. So how should we start? I mean we've been taking this series as a chance to talk about, you know, people, giving people sort of info and advice about what they're doing with their comics. I think we've been fairly informative, haven't we?
We've been told we have. Not overly sure, but we've been told so.
Yeah. But Adam, in your experience, you must get a lot of people, like first time comic makers and stuff, coming to you to print their book for the first time. What are the sort of things you've learned and the questions you've had thrown at you the most?
Oh man. Usually it's just the basics.
where
people just go, right, I've got all this artwork and I want to print a comic, and they'll send all the artwork over and we're like, okay, so your artwork kind of fits to the page size but not quite, and you need to add this thing called bleed. And everyone goes, what the hell is bleed? And then suddenly they're plunged into a world of printing. we can't try and keep it as simple as possible. And just the concept of having like a bleed area and a quiet zone, and making space for your binding when you put all your pages together, it's this really alien concept, because like you guys say, you know, we're so used to the digital medium going, right, well, I've got a box, it needs to be, you know, x pixels by so many pixels. That's my space. That's what I'm going to fill in. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Printing, the actual industrial process, isn't quite that perfect.
No.
So, I mean, luckily we have templates that you can download for free off our website.
Nice.
Which helps. So then, you know, I'm just I know you can't see this. I'm just picking up a little comic in front of me right now, which is US standard size. So. However many pages you've got, obviously everyone pretty much picks US standard size, and they should, because that's what everybody uses. you then have a 3mm area around the edge of your pages, which is for where your pages get trimmed off in the manufacturing process.
Right.
Because it's a bit like a big guillotine coming down. So
yeah.
It's not, you know, as perfect as you can try and get it. It might move by the slightest micron either side, or even by up to a millimeter, And of course, if you've not added a bleed area, you can end up with like this really unsightly white edge.
Especially if you like to do your artwork that's, you know, bleeding off the page. You know, do you know what I mean? It's the artwork is edge to edge when you see that finished comic book. If you've done that, then when you do the original artwork, you've got 3 mil all around that no one is ever going to see. Unless they see the pages online, because you need to factor in these little elements, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, when sent out. I mean, myself and Dan, we've got like backgrounds in print anyway, don't we? Mm-hmm. Don't we, Dan? So
yeah.
I sometimes take it for granted. Yeah, I sometimes take it for granted that there's, you know, I would, how many percentage of people out there don't have the background in print? And and even like webcomic creators, Dan. Yeah, like, there's probably quite a few of those that don't necessarily know. How to transition their books to print, would you say?
I have to speak to other designers about bleed because they don't get it and it frustrates me.
You speak to other designers about bleed?
Yeah, like I have to sometimes speak to sort of designers overseas and they've supplied artwork for us. And I said, look, you've not given any bleed on this ad. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And then I end up like phone calls and emails back and forth and I've got like a PDF set up that shows what the bleed is and like an explanation. But even then, this is like, oh my God.
that's why it's so good if you can just give people templates, because to an extent, you don't have to explain it. You just sort of go, look, here's a template. Can you just kind of fill it in? And like these bits might get chopped off. This is where you need to keep things away from the page edge, which is the quiet area. And everything should just kind of like magically work.
Yeah. It's tricky though, because like Vince says, if you're kind of a web designer, or you're kind of just putting this, web comic or whatever, or you're just putting this together on a piece of A4 folding up, and you don't kind of take these things into consideration when you go to get it printed and all the artwork's flat and you've done it all, and then it flags up these errors, it can be quite tricky to kind of get around that. Especially if you've got like a text box sitting right next to the trim.
Yeah.
And it moves a little bit and suddenly it cuts off like the edge of a letter. It's not good.
You can never have text too close to the edge of anything. And I think another thing is to bear in mind is the resolution, which is something that you guys probably get sent quite a few files that are lower resolution than they need to be for...
Actually, you'd be surprised.
Or is it getting better?
It is getting better. The majority of people do send us the 300 DPI that we like. DPI stands for dots per inch. Generally, anything below 300, you start to reduce quality. 100 below is atrocious. But at the same time, you know, we have turned a few people away and got them to rejig their artwork when they've sent us something you know, like that's 500 DPI, because there's no benefit to that extra high resolution at that point. All it does is kind of like slow the whole process down. And we do recommend, speaking of resolution and images, that people create their artwork using CMYK color. And there's different profiles that you can use in like InDesign or Photoshop.
I mean, that's quite an interesting one, because, for instance, I'm when I do artwork, and I'm working with on something with Tony at the moment, and I'm colouring this artwork.
Luckily, he's got me to lean on.
do the heavy lifting.
Because I know it's going to be a print book, and it's so I'm not thinking digitally. Yeah. You know, I'm working with CMYK in mind. So, you know, when it comes to the colour process. But for someone who, for instance, has just started a webcomic, they only need it, because for webcomics, you only need it to be RGB. And they've done 100, they probably didn't think at the beginning, I'm going to be able to make a print copy of this. But they've still done it high resolution, but they've always worked at RGB. You still need to convert it to CMYK before you print it, because if you print RGB, it looks dull. We've probably made that mistake at some point.
If I can chime in quickly.
Go for it.
Quite a few printers, including ourselves, have like a very clever system in the back end to convert RGB to CMYK as closely as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
There's still a little bit of variation.
Yeah.
but generally we have a smarter conversion. For the people listening at home, I just wanted to say, because right, we're all banding around RGB and CMYK like everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
RGB is a three-color spectrum, which is the colors produced by light, which you see on your computer screen or on your mobile device. And then CMYK are the four colors that are produced by ink on paper. It's a bit like mixing paint.
Yeah.
So you're trying to convert a light color, a color spectrum created by actual visual light rays into the color spectrum of chucking paint on paper or ink on paper.
Yeah.
So that's why some of the color values are very similar and other ones are actually a bit further apart. They don't quite align correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For kind of a real world example of this, when I did Viper, I colored it mainly in RGB. So it's got very bright neon blues and bright neon pinks, but that doesn't translate at all or very well into CMYK. Mm-hmm. So I've had to go back and kind of tweak that a little bit so it reads okay. I think I can remember moving the pink more close to a purple or something, but in the end, it's all right. I've got paid, okay. But work sent me on a day course to do like a color theory training, and I thought, oh, this can't be too bad. And then by lunchtime, it felt like someone smashed me over the head with a mallet because my head was absolutely like pounding with the amount of information I was trying to take in. It was so much. And that was just like scraping the surface of it. But there's a lot. There's a hell of a lot. But like I said, you don't, as a kind of layman, you don't really need to get into it kind of too much. Like if Mixim's got a good kind of system which will convert your RGB to CMYK. One of the things I've done with you guys, I've used Mixim to get a print proof, is I uploaded some files I'd made in RGB and converted CMYK myself and saw how it came out in the print, and I was really, really pleased. It came out really well. So that's a great little method if you kind of you're unsure about how the process has worked. I think you guys charge like a minimal amount to do like four or five test pages, and that's going to be a good way of doing getting a print proof before printing 500 copies of your magnum opus. Worth doing.
it's the free test print feature.
Yeah.
You get like two copies. I think it's up to 16 pages of a booklet, or you can get a couple of posters or flyers.
Nice one.
But it's another thing to bear in mind, which people starting out probably aren't going to do, but let's cover it quickly. The test prints are done on a digital run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, once you get into the higher quantities, when you're doing over like 500 or 1,000 copies of something, you're then switching from a digital print machine to a litho or offset print machine.
Yeah.
And it's a slightly different technical setup, which I won't bore people to death with. but the paper and the fit and the ink and the finish is ever so slightly different.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to vary tremendously.
Okay.
But the digital print cost per unit is a lot higher at low vol. Is a lot higher. But generally, the contrast of the images will be, and the intensity of the colors will be higher. Whereas when you get onto litho or offset printing in very, very high quantities, once you sort of hit that critical mass of like 1,000 copies, the cost per unit becomes really, really cheap.
Yeah.
The only downside is while the imagery is still really crisp and really good, the colors aren't necessarily quite as intense as the digital print.
Yeah,
but there isn't too much variation between them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so just imagine getting 1,000 copies printed. Oh, happy day.
Yeah, this is comics. Yeah. Don't worry. This is comics.
I mean, you know, you could always use them as furniture when you don't sell them.
That's true. So one of the handy things about using the Surface is service. you can kind of tailor make your kind of book on the fly. So you add how many pages, which is a multiples of four, and then choose like the paper stock and the cover stock and what finishes you're going to have on it. And you've got like a real-time calculator that kind of adds it up as you go along. Like, so I want 40 copies of this comic. I was playing around with it the other day, and I thought, I wonder what happens if I turn on like this UV spot varnish, and it jumped from like 300 odd quid to like 1,200. So
yeah,
I immediately I took that off.
Yeah, but Tony, you're getting into the world of like paper stock, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're
loving it. You just sent me some paper stock about a month ago, actually, guys. The because I was going through it with Vince, and he was explaining to me what paper was and stuff. But yeah, it came. I have to say, I think I emailed you saying, "Oh, what do you think?" And you said, "Well, we sent you some paper stock, and it arrived in like a day." I got to be honest with you, I was very impressed, guys. Mm. Yeah, very good.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the paper stock little swatch book
that's it,
out with all the different samples. Yeah, it's great.
It's just really handy as well. It's really handy for
if you want to copy somebody else's work.
Yeah.
Where you've got somebody's comic in your hand, you go, "Oh, that's really nice. I'd really like to copy their cover in the pages. What did they use?"
Yeah.
You just get our swatch book and sort of feel your way through it. Yeah. And then sort of go, "Oh yeah, that kind of closely matches. Yeah. I must be that one."
Because let's face it, that's how most creators, when they finally get their book printed, they go be like, "Oh, I really want it to look and feel like this book."
Yeah,
and they've always got something in mind, haven't they?
I mean, yeah. It might not kind of affect the small press guys too much, but it moves very much into that business area of like, if you add a heavier paper stock, you're increasing the weight of your book, which will increase the price of it when you're shipping it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You kind of got that trade off of like, you got it, like I said, a small press, I don't think it will affect us too much unless you're doing vast quantities of it. But say you got a 400 page book and you're doing it on a low GSM, and then suddenly think, "Oh, fuck it, I'll bring it right up." That will affect not only printing and shipping, but the quality of the product will be a lot better.
So it'll affect how are you going to feel when you've got to lug all that to conventions? Let's face it.
Yeah, know? True.
When you've got boxes and boxes that you're taking to MCMs, etc., you're going to. There may be people that will grumble, "Why did I do a 200 page hardcover?"
That's why you're going to go zine fairs.
Yeah. Just bang them out in the work photo.
There's one other thing to consider about page thickness.
Because
if your page count isn't very high, when pages are really thick, people are going to struggle to flick through your comic.
Right.
Yeah.
So what kind of like page weight would you have to go up to before that would become an issue?
It depends how many pages you've got.
Right, okay. I guess if you just print in like a, say, 24-page comic, I guess you... I don't know what the average is of what people kind of go for, but if you're in any kind of uncertainty, ordering a sampler, that's the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, we're kind of coming on to bindings now. So you've got staple bound, which is quite literally two staples punched through the middle that holds the whole thing together.
The classic comic book.
Comic. And then you've got perfect bound, which gives you that really nice square edge.
Yeah.
So that's what we used to be called prestige format back in the Marvel and DC days.
So that's more going to be like for your it's over a certain page count, isn't it? You have to go to.
I mean, it's like Dark Knight was that, wasn't it? That's where we first sort of started noticing, I think.
So, I mean, staple bound will always, it will always sit open to some extent.
So
I've just got one in front of me. I'm flicking through at the moment. Paper's a little bit thick. In front of me right now, I've got a 16 side staple bound booklet. The cover is 300 GSM, which is really high.
That's a proper cardstock.
Yeah. And then the inner paper is 170, which once again is really high.
Yeah.
I think it's because we absolutely saturated with this with ink. But most of the time, people seem to be going down to about 115 for the inner papers and then about 170 for the cover. And then that gives it quite a nice bit of flex.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like I say, even at this higher thickness with 16 pages, it seems to be okay. I think it just seems to be more a case of how thick your cover is compared to how thick your inner pages are, and is your page count high enough?
Well, one thing that's kind of I don't know if you heard, but the company Alterna in the States, they've started printing on newsprint
It's become popular again, isn't it? You must get asked about that all the time, don't you?
I think it's just the cheapness of it, of getting your kind of getting the material out there for as minimum price as possible.
And the nostalgia, I think. There's a little bit of that nostalgia as well, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've seen the stuff from Alterna, and it does look good. It's the newsprint paper they have is surprisingly good. Mm. Honestly, I don't know how it's holding that much ink without it bleeding straight through to the other side. It actually looks really good.
Yeah.
The only thing is that, if you're just trying to get your comic out there really cheaply, I can see why people go down the newsprint route, and then maybe they'll do like a graphic novel bundle that's nicely perfect bound later on.
Harkens back to the disposability of kind of comics that are made to be read and potentially discarded.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that concerns me slightly is that, okay, you put all this really hard work into a comic book. And obviously I go to MCM and a few other shows like you guys, and I see how much people are selling comics for, and I see how much people are selling art prints for. And sometimes I do feel for the creatives that have put all this effort into a comic, and somebody next to them in the artist alley is selling like a couple of prints for about the same price.
Yeah. It's the love of the medium, dude. I think that's kind of, you know, I genuinely, we could all make money by, well, I can't draw a stick man, but people could make money by drawing prints, but most people choose to do a bit of both, I think.
But my concern is that, okay, Alternative have done this great thing where you can get newsprint comics for next to nothing.
Mm.
But at the same time, it means the creators make virtually they make nothing back for all their hard work.
Yeah.
Welcome to the world of comics, though, once again. You know what I mean? So,
getting that into someone's hands cheap, like the old ash cans of banging this out really quickly. It's got like 10 pages in a taster of your comic, and you can get these into people's hands, and then that hopefully brings them back to get the trade or the proper comic or something.
That would work, but I just feel that people, if they just give people the whole comics, they're sort of selling themselves short.
Yeah, I can see where you come from there.
Because why would somebody pay for like the premium high quality version of your comic if they can get the cheap disposable version?
I guess if you did like just a pure black and white version, and it was like a taster as opposed to the whole deal, maybe they'd come back. I don't know. Is it also, there's an issue essentially, from what I can understand it, the printers and paper merchants essentially moved away from newsprint because no one wanted to use it anymore. And then it suddenly had this kind of resurgence, which may be kind of nostalgia rearing its head, that people want it back, and it's actually quite hard to get it.
Yeah.
I think some people prefer it because of there's a couple of readability issues to it, isn't there? There's a lack of glare, which you get off a lot of comics now.
Mm.
And it kind of holds the colour in a way that we as comic readers are used to, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, I can understand it, yeah.
But I think with those sort of newsprint comics, for the newsprint process, and I'm no expert, so correct me if I'm wrong, internet, you have to... And this probably speaks to why Alterna selling them cheap as chips. You have to print such a volume of these books because they're such vast sort of, you can't just sort of say, oh, I want to sort of do a comic that's like a newspaper, because it's not going to be so easy to do. And because of that, you have to print it in larger numbers, like the litho printing, for instance.
Yeah.
You go to litho because your copies go up. You know, and then I think newsprint is a similar sort of thing. So you could have a newsprint comic, but you could also have like boxes and boxes, you know, for a long time. And there's lots of different things. There are reasons why there aren't so many of these things about, even though people are starting to want them again, I think.
I did had a 4 or 5 page comic in Alterna's It horror anthology.
Yeah.
And that had like a fair bit of gradients and gradual tones going on, and when that came out on the newsprint, it was kind of lost. Essentially, that artwork was murdered, but it wasn't the right artwork for the medium.
Yeah, brings up the know what you're going to print on even before you begin the process. Sometimes,
yeah,
you've always got to think about. I think with any project, any comic project.
That long view, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you have to think about what you want it to be. You know, you have to think about if you want this high quality, you know, this matte laminate book. Yes, it's going to cost you more, but if that's what you want, then you know, then figure out how to do it. I mean,
you can just get some vanity copies done for yourself, can't you? It's not all about kind of having to mass produce it and go to shows. If you only want like 3 or 4 books for you and your family, you can get that done. Obviously, the price is going to be up there because you're doing such a small run.
Yeah,
but that's totally possible, isn't it?
Yeah, but you have to think. I mean, what you as a creator, and I'm talking to the audience. This is meta, isn't it?
Yeah.
what do you want from your comics? I think that's almost a bigger picture sort of question that needs to be asked across the board anyway.
Yeah.
What's
attractive to a buyer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very important.
I mean, obviously we're all making comics for ourselves, but as soon as we decide to put them on the web or print them, then we're making a product for other people to be attracted by, to come to your table, to pick up. So think about, you know, those extra little bits. And printing can do a lot now. You know, there are these little things that can help you. I mean, what's the number one sort of flashy element, should we say, Adam, that you get
asked... What does everyone want? Yeah.
That you get asked about the most?
Spot UV. And,
really?
Yeah, followed by gold foiling.
Jeez. Really?
Oh.
Yeah. Spot UV is the most common one for most printed products at the moment.
And for those people who don't know what exactly that is, what is a spot UV?
Oh, sorry. So let's say the easiest way to explain a spot UV and the best way to do it is that you've got a stand, we'll probably have to talk about this more in a bit, you've got a standard matte lamination or even an uncoated cover, but usually a matte laminated cover, and then you apply an extra bit of gloss varnish over key details or elements of the cover design. So you might have some characters with some spooky eyes. You would apply a spot UV, a bit of the gloss varnish around on top of their eyes, or most commonly on the name of the comic book, which would be in a nice artistic font. You'd then apply a spot UV gloss varnish to that. And you can have a slightly raised version as well, if you like. So essentially, you've got a nice matte background, and this lovely, slightly raised, shiny effect.
As soon as you hold it up to the light, you immediately see it, don't you? It's an effect.
Yeah, we use it a lot in No Brow. There's a lot of our books use that, but especially the hardbacks.
It's an effect that you rarely, if ever, see in the monthlies, in your weekly comic books or anything like that.
Yeah.
But
as you guys have said, it's actually quite expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, but the collected editions, you're seeing it more and more with trade paperbacks and collected editions and original graphic novels and stuff.
Yeah, like hardbacks and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
No Brow have used it quite a bit, haven't they?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And then the gold foiling tends to be more for case bound books, hardback books, that we end up printing for bigger Kickstarters because hey, they've got the money, they can do whatever they want. The technical setup is very, very similar. And it's usually like, oh, this is my nice logo. I want gold foiling on that. And you just get like a nice gold metallic shiny effect, which literally is gold foiling heated and pressed into the paper.
But what would be your advice? Because when it comes to things like that, sometimes, and this is the way my brain works, you know, you think, oh, just a tiny little bit of this logo. Just have this little, I don't know, like an exclamation mark in the logo. I want that to be gold. And the rest of the book is like a matte laminate or something like that. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I'd think, that's a lot of money for one little bit to be gold.
Well, you usually get charged by the percentage of how much coverage you've got.
Ah, right.
So most printers will only do up to about 20% because the price becomes ridiculous otherwise.
Yeah.
So generally the smaller the area, the less it should cost you because, basically they're using less gold foiling.
Nice. I'm using gold on everything now, by the way, lads.
The gold mask and Mars.
Yeah. Murder gold.
Don't give me ideas.
That didn't work so well. That one.
Yeah. Yeah. But obviously, with you guys at Mixam, you're no stranger to printing in high volumes. I mean, if I just said to you, I don't wish to bring you out in make you faint or bring you out in hives or think about, you know, the stress. But if I said the word Etherington's to you.
Yes.
I mean, some people have said that they've had some successful Kickstarter campaigns.
Yeah, you could say that.
You could say that, couldn't you? But once the Kickstarter campaign is completed and then they go and print their books, they used you guys for printing, didn't they? And that's quite a volume. That's quite a volume of books.
Yeah, it's about 20,000 books.
Nice. Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you guys do the shipping on that as well, or is it that it's just the printing?
No, there were lots of logistics behind the scenes. So we printed in batches for them. I mean, in theory, we could have done it in one and probably closed down most of production for them. But but they, due to the logistics, they were handling some of it. We printed in, I think we printed it in lots of like, yeah, in like a few, like 7,000 or 7,000 at a time. And then we would ship it via DPD to the warehouse they were using in Bristol. And it was all very much staggered on a monthly basis. We would print X amount, send it to them, they'd receive it, they'd pack it in, they'd distribute it. I mean, Lorenzo, I think he's brilliant and crazy. He was signing absolutely everything by hand.
Yeah, he's crazy now.
Yeah.
Why isn't he sketching in them? That's a bit of a cut-off. Yeah. Well, I don't
want. Yeah, it was tremendous. The only benefit we had is that we'd printed the Kickstarter for them last year. Obviously, it was about half the size last year. So I keep an eye on all these Kickstarters as they go live from our customers. And we saw it going up and up and up. And I actually said to the team a good month in advance, I said, this is going to be big. We need to figure out a logistics solution for when this lands. Obviously, on KickTracker, I could see how big it was predicted to go. And then we were able to kind of get all the logistics and everything in place.
That's quite interesting. So
I got the inevitable email from Lorenzo going, hi, guys, how's this going to work?
That's quite. Do you do that for many campaigns? You know, if I guess when people, before they go to Kickstarter and you obviously need to get a quote from your printer and see if they can do it. You know, always, that's a bit of advice. Always get all this information up front before you start any Kickstarter, because you're going to tell people when they're going to be getting their books. So you kind of need to talk to a printer about that. But do you do that with many other sort of Kickstarter campaigns? If people have come to you with print quotes or print expectations, do you keep up to tabs with how the actual campaign is going?
I do personally, because obviously I'm kind of interested in all this stuff. Yeah. But generally, people may come to us and ask for prices in advance, but they don't necessarily say what it's for or what their expectation is.
Okay.
There's a Kickstarter that's in place, in progress at the moment, which seems to be doing phenomenally well. And that's one I'm keeping my eye on. The creator came to us and asked for all the prices, and then I've sort of proactively kept in touch and sort of said, okay, I can see you're at this point and you're considering offering this option, that's okay, we can do that.
Okay.
And just to know that, just for them to know and have the confidence that we do have these things in place that we can help with. But so far people haven't really asked. But I'm very proactive in.
Do you think that's something some people should do a bit more with the Kickstarter? Because I think sometimes with Kickstarters, people will think, well, forget the money, then I can just go and print it. You know, Kickstarters seem like that sort of simple avenue. Do you think that people should maybe communicate more with their potential printer? Just sort of say, look, I'm looking to do this at this date. This is my plan.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. But at the same time, many people don't know how big their Kickstarter is going to be, especially if it just really takes off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Or if it makes it at all. Fingers crossed we all have successful Kickstarters in our lives.
Yeah. Is that where your business comes from mostly, is Kickstarter related in the comics world, is it? Or
To be fair, it's a real mixture.
Right. Mm. Okay. Yeah.
The Etheringtons are this wild, crazy example. They are like the dream client.
Yeah.
but generally, it's people printing for the shows as the main bulk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's also art prints and things like that. You know, people offer these Kickstarter packages, or certainly like for conventions. I mean, I recently got some art prints, you know, from you guys that I'm going to be having at my table at shows. So see me at a show and pick up a print. But you know, there's all these handy extras that people have got one, and that's good to factor in. And you know, I think as we always say on this show, it's communication, isn't it? Really, just keeping contact.
As a callback to the previous episode about. Hugo was talking about having it your product and your comic ready at a certain time, and also that you got to factor in the printing time. So don't be going to your printer on Wednesday asking for your book to be ready for Saturday for MCM, because you might not get it in time.
You got
to allow a good turnaround time for that to be printed and delivered back to you.
I guess conventions are, you know, actual dates, they're quite important as well, isn't it? Like an MCM or a Thought Bubble is probably more, it's busier for you guys, isn't it, than like...
Yeah, the run-up to the London MCMs have got to be your height of your busyness. Are they comic-wise, or...?
I'd say so.
Right.
Because I go through all the orders on a weekly basis, and I make a note of different orders that are coming in, when they're... like estimated completion dates are, and put it all into a spreadsheet. And for certain shows, or even some shows I didn't really know about initially, you'd suddenly see this slew of comic books come in, or art sketch portfolios or whatever. And it's like, oh, this is interesting. And then you getting everything ready and prepped to kind of outreach to the customer once they've received their order and they're happy with it. Can we feature you on social media? They typically say yes, which is great. But I will then find their social media accounts in advance to check it all out. And it'd be like, oh, I'm going to such and such show. And then I'll find five other people that are all going to the same show. It's like, okay, this show is obviously quite important. Need to keep my eye on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I'd love to have that job and seeing all these comics and prints coming in. I have to be careful not to burn off loads of my wages printing out extra ones.
I mean, I'm terrible because I'll go around the shows and chat to people, even people that you know we print the comics for, and I will quite gladly throw my money at them for signed copies of the comics and everything else.
That's great. Yeah,
because I genuinely. You know, just love this stuff. It's really
because you
really
kind of jumped in the deep end. I remember you spoke to myself and Dan at MCM when we were there, and you have kind of sort of just jumped in the deep end, haven't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, why comics? What have you been doing it? A couple of years now, is that right? Or
no, not even that long.
Just
over a year, Mixam, I've been doing comics.
Wow. Okay.
How did you just see that? That's a good sort of line of business, and you know, did someone come to you and say, "Oh, can you do a few of my comics in it?" How did it come about?
Well, I've only been at the company for about just under a year and a half.
Right. Okay.
So when I started, my hobby is actually tabletop war games, playing like Warhammer and Warhammer 40K.
Okay. Nice. Sorry, I feel sorry for your wallet, almost as much as a comic fan.
Yeah. God.
Yeah.
Oh no,
my son was into all that, and it fucking the price of them, man. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's okay. My wife is very strict. I'm only allowed to buy stuff after I've built and painted what I've got.
Right, good. Yeah.
So I spend more money on comics at the moment. Yeah, so I was just sort of getting into the print industry and figuring things out, and I noticed a couple of people have been printing comics for us, and they looked pretty good. And there was this chap called Matt Garvey, and he did some pretty cool stuff. And I came along to MCM back in May last year, and I met Matt and I met a few other people. And I got asked all these questions like, oh, well, can you do US standard size? Can you do this? Can you do that? I was like, I'm sure we can. Went back to one of our developers the next day. I was like, okay, we're doing a comics page. We're doing all this stuff because, you know, that's what these guys are asking for. Let's give it a go, see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how it started. Ultimately, it was all Matt Garvey's fault.
Why is that no surprise? Why is that no surprise?
One question I'd like to put to you. Someone wants to put their comic to print, but they don't have access to kind of like Adobe Creative Suite, which is going to be quite expensive. Instead of doing this on the budget, do you know of a program which a comic creator could put together a comic that could output PDFs for print that's either free or very cheap?
Okay. Provided you've got a template to work from, which will make your life a lot easier.
Mm.
I think there's GIMP, which is like a poor man's
version of Photoshop. Hang on.
What's that? Hang on. What's the website for that?
Oh, I don't know. I just remember
hamster.com and just put GIMP in.
Don't Google GIMP.
Hang on. I'm going to tempt fate.
How we brought down the business.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on the work computer, so this could end really badly.
There's definitely an acronym for it. Graphics something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a bit of sense, doesn't it?
No, it's not giving me...
Maybe
right.
Not.
Right, okay, everyone. You can safely type GIMP, GIMP, into Google, and it comes up with GIMP.org, a cross-platform image editor for Windows and all this other stuff. So, yeah, it's safe to type GIMP into Google.
And then clear your browser history.
You could fire up the template in GIMP and then make sure your art files are the correct size to supply to you guys.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, it's been years since I've used this.
Fair enough.
So I assume you can set up CMYK art and everything else.
Because on your site, talking about the interface, you upload pages like a PDF page and you drop it in the slot, so you can work out your lefts and rights, your covers. So it's relatively intuitive. I think, isn't it? Like if you have the file names in descending order, you can pop them in and then it will populate it on its own. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. But there's an even easier way to do it, where you just take all your designs and chuck it all in a single. Like multi-page PDF file.
Oh, and it will take it apart like that. Oh, okay. That's
yeah,
right.
And it orders it all in the running order. So you'll have like your front cover as your first page, and then your back cover as your last page, and it will just sort of kind of like suck it into the system and put it in the right place.
So you do like inside front,
yeah.
Then 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
I guess ideally you want 3 mil bleed around. All four sides, even if it's a page that's... I mean, sometimes when I do my page layouts and I work to spreads, you know...
Yeah, you can upload spreads as well.
Yeah. Oh.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yes.
So you dump your file in. Say you got a great big chunky book.
Yeah.
It will then tell you, right, you need to have a 4 mil spine, which you then go on to... So say I did that, and then it's like, right, you save that job. I've now got to make a 4 mil spine, which I'll make as a PDF and then upload that. Is that the process?
Well, there's different ways of doing it. Okay. I'm glad you asked about spine. Obviously, really important. Don't forget your spine. Mm. So when you put when you get all the stuff from the price calculator and then you click next step, it actually tells you your spine width.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
And if you go through to like the artwork dashboard to upload your work, because you can do all this without paying. You only pay right at the end when you hit go.
Yeah.
So it will give you the specifics for the spine size in there. So you can either, and of course you only need a spine if you're doing perfect bound or case bound, but case bound is a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
You can either upload your front cover, your back cover, and your spine as separate files, or if you put it all into a single spread with your spine design in the middle, you can upload it in one hit, even if it's part of your multi-page PDF, and the system will just suck it all in and populate it for you.
Ah, okay. Nice one. That's interesting.
So if you want some really nice artwork that flows across your back, your front cover, across your spine, on your back, and across the back cover, all seamlessly, the best way to do it is to upload a spread with the spine in the middle.
Ah, okay. So what you'd do, like the whole book, but the center spread would be the spread of the front and back cover and the spine. Is that right?
Yeah. And then if you wanted to do spreads for the interior pages, you could do that as well.
Ah, brilliant. Nice one.
Obviously, don't need a spine for the interior pages, but yeah.
I mean, the key is to make it as simple as possible for anyone that can use this interface, whether you're an artist or whether you're a writer. You know, just say you're a writer that has collated this book mm-hmm. with the files from the, you know, your art team and stuff. But and you're
it could
the
be
one...
a role for an editor as well sometimes.
Yeah. So, you know, it benefits everyone to have the process as simple as you guys have it. From your experience, ever since you jumped into the deep end, because we've all spoken about our experiences as soon as you started with indie comics or the small press or whatever.
Yeah.
How did you find jumping into the deep end of the small press and indie scene? What was that like?
Some horrible people on there. Who do you really not like? That's what we're going with.
you know what? To be fair, it wasn't as scary as you might think.
Right.
It did help that the first person I met was Matt Garvey.
Yeah.
and he was like, yeah, mate, don't worry about it. Just go chat to people. You'll be fine. And to be fair, it couldn't have, well, I was going to say, couldn't be further than the truth. It was actually exactly as he said. You can just go up to people and have a chat to them. And I think because I had a genuine interest in what people were creating.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm, you know, I dabbled in things. And when I was at school and university, my friends gave me comics to read and stuff like that. So I have a basic kind of geek understanding of most things. So it wasn't this scary alien thing. It was all kind of familiar. And it also helped that I was spending quite a bit of money picking up people's comics and having a chat with them. Right. Trying to, you know, pimp myself out as this comic printer, you know, mostly slipped to my mind. It was only when I was in mid conversation with people, it was like, oh yeah, we print stuff. Here you go, have a business card, you know.
You're into 40 Warhammer, so that's like the injecting crack into your genitals level of geek, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's like well in the deep end with geekdom.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask how you know that kind of reference, Dan.
Yeah, I'm genuinely horrified.
Grew up in Croydon, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Say no more.
Listen to the show more, you'll be fine. It gets worse. Yeah. Keep going. Have you ever had anything, speaking of which, have you ever had anything that you've had to turn down? You've gone, fucking hell, really?
No.
Well, okay. My files will be winging their way to the site.
Don't print them. Don't print them. Especially if you ask for anything laminated.
We do our very best. We actually had one publisher come to us with quite a big job, and the files were in such a state. And we actually, I basically leased them our freelance designer to help fix it all.
Right.
And you say that was
thinking more from a sort of theme type thing, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, but that's when you say a publisher, are we talking like a small one person publisher? Are we talking an actual publisher? Without naming any names.
Well, I can't name any names. I don't actually know what their scale is. I'd call it a one person publisher.
Right.
Fair enough.
But it was a fairly hefty order. But like I say, I loaned them our freelance designer because I wanted. You know, I wanted to get it right for them.
Yeah,
and they're a really nice customer, and they've been fantastic ever since.
Oh, that's right.
So if anyone's kind of got any questions, the best thing to do rather than just kind of hit and hope and upload pages and get them knocked back because they're not the right resolution is to speak to your printer.
Absolutely, yeah.
Email them, call them, whatever method. Do you guys do live chat on Mixum website? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we've got live chat on the site. Most people just seem to private message me direct on social media because I look after all of that and they get an out of hours response. So I usually get glared at by my wife, but I'm quite happy to sit there and answer people's questions late at night.
So for those people out there who are thinking, right, I'm going to get I've got my comic all ready to go and ready to print. What are some of the just your basic sort of standard advice you would give them before approaching a printer, you know, and I guess while talking to you guys, what are the top tips you've got?
Okay. Before approaching a printer. Wow. And they've got all their artwork and all, and everything is done.
They've listened to episodes 1 to 5 of the comic making process, and they've got their genius work of art, and now they want to get it printed.
Okay. I think the first thing would be download the templates. Template that you need for the size you need off the printer's website.
Yep.
And make sure your artwork matches up.
Yep.
Then you get a price.
Yep.
And you would probably want to ask about...
So is that an upfront payment, or is that a payment upon delivery, or is how do you work that?
Oh, a lot of online printers, you have to pay up front.
Yep.
But we only ask customers to pay when they are literally going to press the print it button.
Right. Okay. So, and it's an online transaction then. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. So we do all the customer service assistance, answer a million questions, help them with their artwork, all completely free of charge.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So they do that. And then, so they'd have all the files absolutely ready with the right templates, and then probably come to our calculator and probably go, oh, what papers do I want? What thickness of papers do I want? What binding do I want? And do I need a lamination? All these questions, more than happy to answer and give guidance on.
Mm.
Because I remember when I first started looking at this stuff, it was totally alien to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So happy to advise on that.
Yeah. And I think
you've got to be that. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I think you've got to be that guy in a small press. That's how you get your good name. There's what, 3 or 4 printers in the UK, and generally they've all got a pretty good name for being approachable. And you know, there's a lot of first time comics out there. I think you've got to have that as part of it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Christ, when people used to ask me initially, I'd be like, oh Christ, what paper thickness do I need? And then I'd pick up whatever's on my desk, as I'm doing just now, give a quick flick through, and go, yeah, that looks good. That's similar to what they want. Okay. That's your thickness, that's your cover, that's your thing. I mean, generally, I recommend people to do 115 GSM silk paper, and then do a 170 GSM silk cover with a matte lamination, staple bound, and that's it. You're pretty sorted. And because silk paper gives you sort of like the best reproduction as what you've got on your digital screen.
Right.
It's only when you start getting into like uncoated papers or gloss papers, it can start looking a bit different, get a bit artistic.
Well, that's not like comics to be artistic. so are you going to be visiting or going to any other comic conventions in the year?
I'm planning to go to 3. So I'm down for MCM in October.
Oh, nice.
Okay, I'll be there, man. Yeah.
Yep. I'm getting on the train and going up to the lakes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice.
Have you been to the lakes before, or is that one you've done?
No, I've basically been hassled by loads of people saying you've got to go to the lakes. I was like, okay.
It's a different deal from MCM. I'm sure you realise, but yeah.
And then, I'm told the mecca of UK indie comics is Thought Bubble.
Awesome Comics Podcast. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be there. Do you know what I mean? It's like a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a holy event.
So yeah, I'm going to those 3 events. Doing the overnight stay at the latter two. So
yeah, get yourself a spare liver for the bubble.
It's okay. I'm used to the war game scene. There is a hell of a lot of drinking.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Well, all right then. Where can people find, well, if you survive Thought Bubble, where can people find like more about your service, or like, you know, get in touch with you to find out more about like printing their comic? Where can people find you guys?
Okay, well, obviously on our website you've got mixam.co.uk/comicbooks, which is our comics page, and you can get all the templates from there and play around with our price calculator. Alternatively, you can find us on social media, where we feature loads of the comics that we print for different customers, and the tag is @mixandprint, all one word.
Nice
one, man.
Nice one.
Nice. So yeah, if you see, how will people recognise you? I guess you'll just be walking around at shows and just sort of saying hello to people, won't you?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've always done, really.
Yeah.
So be sure to say hello to Adam when he comes to your table, or if you recognise him in the street, as me and Dan will now, because we know what he looks like. So
yes,
he better watch himself.
Thanks.
No, but I'm sure a lot more people are going to come your way asking for advice and stuff. So thank you very much for coming on tonight, man.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Cheers, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to talk about like a bit of technical process and like talking about bleeds and stuff. I'm kind of in my element, and then I suddenly realise, oh God, I've gone full nerd.
Yeah, he loves it because I shut up because I'm a proper Luddite. So he knows I don't know what you're talking
about. But this is how you learn, Tony. You know,
a final bleed story to round off the show. I had one of my fellow designers come up to me and said, Dan, how do I get the printer to print all the way to the edge of the paper? And I was like so incensed. I was like, how long have you worked here? Like, just, and I get shit for that this day. For being mean.
For being mean? Nah, yeah. You're fully justified.
Yep, absolutely.
Thanks, Adam.
Anyway.
That's right.
Yeah, dude. See Thanks, man. See you soon. Take care.
All right, take care. Bye.
And there you go, folks. Plenty of process this week.
Bang.
Ooh, proper tech. I love it. Love talking.
That was good. I was completely lost, but I was kind of caught up in your excitement.
But, that's why you need to go back and listen to it, Tony. So then, knowledge is power.
Yeah. And oh yeah. But you see, it is knowledge is power. But that's why you're my friend, is because I can get you to do things.
It's a tricky one because I fired that question off about the printing thing because through my job I've got access to Adobe Creative Suite, which allows me like Photoshop and InDesign, and I can make these print ready files. But that program is not cheap. And if you're doing this as like a side gig, I can see how like it's cost prohibitive. If you don't want to spend tons and tons of money doing this kind of stuff. I think you can get like a month free trial on Creative Suite. So you could always like download InDesign, put your book together, export it, and then that'd be that. But then you've done it. So
And the printers, like you say, that they will have templates, they will have how to's, because they've had plenty of people go to them and supply stuff without crop marks and without bleed and things like that. So if you're thinking about printing, then definitely whoever you choose to do your printing, contact them and just go to their website, and there'll be information there that it is there. I mean, it's like all the stuff we've talked about, lettering or the coloring and stuff. If you do want to make it the best it can possibly be, then just look into these avenues because the information is there on the internet. Don't just listen to us.
I mean, YouTube's a really good source for that, and also searching for stuff on podcast apps. That's really useful as well.
Yeah, because there's so many sort of process shows and different people talking about different ways to do web comics or different ways to do your Kickstarter or things like that.
I'll become involved in a community and ask, like the Awesome Comic Chat. You ask a question and you will get like answers from people who have done it.
Yeah,
you will. Yeah. If anyone puts a message on there, I'm having a problem trying to sort this thing out, it gets authorized straight away and people answer straight away. On our group. That's just great, really.
So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that one. Like we say, there is the digital aspect of comics, which is a different aspect. So we might be talking about that soon as well. But, so far, 6 weeks of step-by-step process,
Maybe that's gone quick, isn't it?
Yeah, it has gone quick. It's been a nice little set of shows, and we hope you've enjoyed them all so far. Who knows? We might tack another one on. Who knows what we're doing with this show?
I mean, next week we're doing one on postage and packaging. How to avoid paper cuts.
I tell you what, that's an important part of the process.
Well, the woman in my post office literally hates me. Every time I walk in there, because I did a load of the sending the Awesome Comic, didn't I? You see her, she's got such a face, like, fuck off.
Yeah. See us. You come rolling in with a massive great big trolley and a broad smile at one, and I'll fuck off. Yeah. That's your entire morning done with you doing these parcels.
Right next to the counter as well is one of those old school sort of cheap supermarket bucket things, and it's full of really bad movies and soft porn. It's really interesting, all for $2.99. I'll take a picture next time I'm in there.
Yeah, that's good.
That's something to look forward to on the group chat. Anyway, and speaking of things that you should look forward to, I think it's time for the shout-outs. What shout-outs have we got this week, gents?
Yes. Well, I'm very pleased and proud to be able to give a shout out to a Kickstarter which launched today, which is The Spark.
Oh, thanks, man.
The new All Ages monthly comic magazine. A fun and action-packed comic magazine for kids and adults, monsters, space adventures, alien planets, and a robot host.
Yes. Springworth is back, my friend.
Yay. Yeah. So since we've got two people on the show whose work is in the comic, why don't I ask you guys to give us a bit of a...
Oh, thanks, Dan. I appreciate that, man. And thanks for pledging as well, babes. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, thank you, dude.
As always. So we launched a couple of hours ago as we record this, because we're recording this early. It's four little heroes. So once we get the cost of making it out of the way, the rest will be going to comic making kits for kids in hospitals and stuff like that. It's going to have four regular strips, three 5-pagers and one pager, which appears on the back page, which is written by me with art by Vincenzo Hunt.
Hey. Nice. Yeah. I am merely a worker monkey who got carried away with a brilliant idea.
Go on, you talk us through it, because you've been working on it today, man. Yeah.
What our little strip?
Yeah.
Monster Spotters Club. Yeah, which is I mean, the title alone, anyone who knows me will know that immediately. When Tony was talking about this idea that him and Aaron have got in the pipeline, I immediately was like, oh, that sounds great. I'm immediately want to read that. And then you approached me about doing art duties, and I just...
Yeah, we had an idea where we want it to be a bit like... I just love those one-page strips used to get in English comic, in British comics rather, and used to get them in like Mad Magazine and Cracked and stuff like that as well.
There's a real element of like, I don't know, the Bash Street Kids or, you know, those one and done.
Yeah.
It's like an adventure on a page, isn't it, sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's got a little, it's almost developing a little catchphrase. And... Yeah. We might roll out a few little extras about Monster Spotters Club kind of books and stuff like that. But it's basically a kind of space age scout group. There's three of them, and they go around, and the adult keeps getting himself in trouble discovering monsters. And
the kids are far better at it than the adults are.
Yeah. So it's, and Vince is killed on it. There's some great moments in it. It looks great.
Yeah. It became a lot more sort of spacey and alien like.
You went for it on the designs, which is really nice.
Which is and colourful. It was it was nice to do like an all ages sort of strip, with a few sort of, I don't know. It was just fun doing some like alien kids and trying to make which is quite, but to make them also relatable as well. And
one of the big things that we haven't talked about this for a while, but we certainly talked about it. When Andy Clift was on the show, as a representation of disability in comics, and you decided on that, man. So you take full credit for that. And one of the characters has a disability, which he's kind of the coolest of them all. Do you know what I mean? He's kind of the one who gets everyone out of trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we did that. I'm really proud of that little strip. And it's just capital F fun, isn't it? You know, that's how it works.
Yeah. And we've got lots more plans for the future. Them like we say, but that's just one strip.
Everything's done now on it. We've done. I've got to write an intro page, I think, is the last thing we're going to do, and but it's ready to go to print.
That's brilliant.
So we're really pleased about that. I think I'm sick to the high teeth of things that aren't finished going on Kickstarter, as you both know.
So this is
all done. And we're going to hopefully launch it at Nottingham, so if you're at Nottingham, be able to pick your copy up or pick a copy up, but pledge it, because we've been going, 4 hours now? We're at 30%. We're quite pleased. Yeah. That's quite good. But we've got to get over the line, man.
I mean, we've been going a lot longer by the time this episode airs.
Yeah. I'm hoping by then we'll be across the line and more. But it'd be nice to get there. So, and Aaron, do you know what? He's a mate, good mate of mine, Aaron, of us. And he puts the work in, you know. He doesn't get any money for it. He puts the work in for this great charity. And there's a lot of great people. I mean, the Don Chief is organising something on the Facebook group at the moment, isn't he? And stuff like that. There's a lot of good people who work very hard for it. The guys from That Comic Smell and Gary Watson, a lot of people do good stuff, to name but a few. And this is going to be really fun. And it's a really brave challenge. We're going to do it as a regular. It's going to be a regular comic. It's going to come out probably quarterly to start off with. And then we'd love to go monthly at some point with it. Dan Harris has kicked it out of the park as well. Dan's stuff. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. It's cool.
There's loads of people.
Yeah, so go and pledge to that. And also, another shout-out. I forgot to say it last time. Congratulations to the Phoenix Who recently smashed the 400 issue mark.
That's a lot, man. For a week, 400 these days.
And they are putting out, anyone who's read the Phoenix or has seen the quality that goes on there week on week, and we love them and they love us, thankfully, you know, and lots of their creators are friends of the show. And especially, I mean, Dan, you signed up for it, and you read it as much as your son, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I often I come home and I find it ripped open, and like the comic on the side and the envelope over the shop. But the price is so great, and it's such a great comic. It's well worth picking up.
Yeah, nice, yeah. Man. So congrats to them. Here's to the next 400, and we'll probably have more of their creators on this show over the next year or so, I would imagine.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
There's a few we haven't spoken to yet, so keep your ears out for that. And also keep your ears, eyes and everything open for Leamington Comic Con 2019.
Yes. Oh yeah, I'm not going to this, you lucky bastards. Well, I'm going to be in New York working my ass off, but yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like fun.
But me and the Butcher are bringing the heat like an 80s cop duo on Saturday the 5th of October 2019 at All Saints Parish Church in Leamington. Look for the hashtag LCC 2019. There's loads of great guests going to be there.
John Wagner's back, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a great guest.
Rocking out. That was a pun there.
I think their Kickstarter's about to launch as well, I think, isn't it? Well, Rock the God. I think that's going to be coming soon. Yeah.
I'm quite intrigued by that one. That sounds quite interesting.
Some of the teaser images look amazing. Yeah.
There's loads of great guests going to Leamington. Go to Facebook and find out more. I mean, obviously, we'll probably be retweeting them leading up to it as well, shilling it, because we're going to be there, and we're shameless when it comes to shows that we're going to be at.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully, we might be able to get some interviews on the day as well. We'll see. But it's going to be a fantastic day. Last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bloody hell, time flies, doesn't it?
We did that panel with Jay, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Good fun,
that room was virtually full.
Yeah, it was a giggle as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was a lady who had come in there with her son, young son or daughter. And I feel like she kind of just went in there to kind of, you know, have a see what was going on. She never heard us before, and we had a big laugh out of her over something we said. And I was like, job done.
Yeah. Who knows? They may be still a listener. So you never know. Yeah, so look out for that. So that'll be our next Comic-Con appearance. Are there any other shout-outs? I feel like I missed something.
I've got one.
Yeah.
Go on,
man.
Damage Case.
Oh, yes.
A sketch by Grant Richards. London is a masked vigilante prowling the streets. His name is Damage Case. Tonight, a plague is released into the city. This is a fantastic sketchbook by Grant Richards, previous guest on the show. If you look at some of the stuff on there, it's kind of Frank Quietly-esque. Would that be a fair?
Yeah,
Grant is a beast.
Detailed.
Yeah, with a bit of Brian Hitch in there as well.
It's just absolutely lovely work. There's one where like this huge rat dude's jumping down in front.
I love that one. Yeah.
What's the name of that bit on the gherkin?
Yes, it is, isn't it?
And it's wow, that is great. It's just an absolutely fantastic book. So, it's a 32-page A4 art book for the black and white splash pages.
I've pledged to that. I'm getting a copy. Yeah, can't wait. Yeah,
lovely.
Yeah, I've never met Grant in person. We've had him on the show, but I'm looking forward to meeting him. I don't know. He was great on the show, and these guys, he just loves comics, so he just draws them, and I kind of just admire that. You know, there's no pretense about the geezer, and he's really good, you know.
I can only imagine how long it takes doing those images.
The cross hatching, sweet Jesus.
Well, I might have shares in the Micron pens he uses, because he must go through a few.
Nice, and then some. Right. So there you go. So we've had some nonsense at the beginning. We've had some process. We've had some shout outs. Now it's time for some recommendations, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah.
It is actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is.
Dan's well up for
it. Turn the energy up.
Yeah, so Dan Butcher can go first. Dan, what would you like to recommend this week, Dan?
Go on, D-Man.
This is one that came in a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still kind of getting my head around it. I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. It's Neon Wasteland by Rob Shields.
Ah, yes.
I'm not sure if you...
Is this the one that had like the app?
Tell us a bit more
about that, because I'm just going to murder the description of it. So tell us a bit more.
So I'm going to give you the blurb from the site. Neon Wasteland is the world's first smart comic. It works with your phone to turn every printed page into an interactive animated story unlike anything you've ever seen. Step into another world, talk to characters inside the book, hack computers, find clues, and discover the ominous truth of a future where humans and computers have merged. It's kind of like a cyberpunk type book where you get, say, like you got the printed copy and it reads like a normal comic. But when you use an app on either your Android phone or iPhone and look at the comic through your phone, the pages will become animated on the phone. So you'll see a screen and elements from the page start becoming animated, like the background start moving, the characters will start running. It's really kind of an interesting experience. The reason kind of got some trepidation about it is it's, I don't want to say gimmicky, but it's an interesting experiment, but I'm not sure if there's kind of the legs here to kind of go forward with it. Maybe if it was like, you know, like the old Google glasses or some kind of lens where you could look. Yeah.
Well, the Marvel AR stuff, if you ever watched that, you know, there was an element of the interaction. Or what was that comic company that Dave Gibbons was dealing with where they had sound effects and voices and stuff?
Oh, yes. God, I can't remember now.
A few years ago now, isn't it? Yeah. And do you remember Electro Comics? Do you remember the big bump of Electro Comics and we never really saw anything else? That was a bit like that as well, wasn't it? Do you remember?
Well, this one has got there's an interactive sort of level to it where you can add the soundtrack to the comic you read and it changes as you go through. There's interactive elements, so like you get like an achievement thing, like a game. So you click on certain elements within the panels and it will take you to an extra bit and you'll get an achievement unlocked, which you can look more into the story. It's an interesting experiment. I've got to say, it's fantastically put together. You can check out they put up like four sample pages on the website, which is neonwastelandgame.com, and download the app for free and check it out and see what you think. So you don't have to purchase the comic.
Right.
I've got the comic in its entirety. I fucked up by getting a PDF over a printed one. So I'm pointing the screen at a screen. So it's kind of a bit pointless. But
nosebleed.
Yeah. So an interesting experiment. Like we've seen a couple of these things where kind of try and change comics and turn them on their heads. But for me, it feels like kind of putting a clock on an umbrella or something, you know, kind of like adding tech to something that's it doesn't really need it to do what it does. The comic is a kind of an art form
in itself, isn't it? Kind of, yeah. It's like motion comics. Do you remember them?
These feel like I don't like a film's a film. It's got a different language to what a comic has, and in between that, there's this area which it seems to have the weaknesses of both, but not the strengths of either.
We're kind of used to stuff. And when something happens like that, it takes us out of it. Whether a youngster would have the same problem, I don't know. But it kind of does for us, doesn't it, maybe?
Yeah, because I was looking at it and I was thinking, oh, this is really neat. But then it's like, it's almost like you can't accept it as like a still image. It's got to be kind of cool by having it animated. But for me, that makes it uncool, if you want to put it in those terms. You know what I mean? It doesn't. I've got so mixed feelings. I mean, we've seen several examples of animated stuff. Like there's that comic when you tilted the iPad up and down left and right, it would change the panel accordingly, which is a lovely effect. But again, it's kind of stepping away from the pureness, which is just the comic as a 2D.
If it's a one-off thing, I'm fine with it. But if it's a continuing comic, I'm kind of like, well, how long am I going to wait for the next one?
Yeah.
So there's kind of that element to me.
I think the Kickstarter took a long time to turn around because you're essentially making kind of like an animated kind of comic that
comes to life. With that sort of thing, I'm all for, like, for instance, comics coming with a soundtrack. Do you know what I mean? If you had a digital and you can play music, you know, while you're that is themed around this book or, you know. But I don't know, like you say, I'm maybe not one for all the bells and whistles. Or it's cool to see it for a page or two, but I wouldn't necessarily want my whole experience to be like that. But
because I think, like, say you had like a comic, a horror comic, and you had to, when you looked at the phone, looked for the screen at the comic, things moved in the background, and you could get like a jump scare.
Oh, that would be quite good.
That'd be a nice kind of
thing to do with it.
But
you've sold me.
Like an Uzumaki comic with some.
Oh my god!
Neither of us know how to fucking do
it. No. But just imagine the whole comic looks blank, and then when you look at through it through your phone, there's loads of like haunting imagery in it. Fuck me, Jesus! Yeah. I'll just shit myself.
Yeah. Or boobs. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I suppose.
So yeah, I kind of very interesting. I think I'll post this up in the Awesome Comic chat group when this episode goes live, with links to the app and the comic itself, and then get the feedback from the group and see what they think of it.
It might be some people are newer to comics. They might, you know, that might be their thing, mightn't it?
Yeah.
It does feel a little bit faddy, I'm going to say. You know?
Yeah, I would say so. I would agree. Yeah. This is in no way kind of being negative about it or to Rob or the work he's put in. There's tons of work in here, and it's a very high quality, and the technology is absolutely on point, but I don't think it's for me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
To be continued.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, who wants to go next?
Shall I go?
Go on.
So this has got sent through to me a couple of days ago. It's Petalburn. The sort of subtitle is Explosive Sweet Freezer Razors. Unsurprisingly, with a title like that, it's by Mr. Gareth Hopkins and his pal Eric Blagsvet, who we'll get onto in a second. It's 20 pages, and once again, it's an abstract comic, but this one is in full colour. Well, I say full colour. It has elements of colour on most pages, put it that way. Yeah. It's a collaboration between the two people. I last saw their stuff in A Hill to Cry On, to Cry Home, sorry, which I reviewed a couple of weeks ago, which is a book he sent me through. I'm hoping by this point that I will have a copy of this in my hands, because we're recording this before the Hackney Comic and Zine Fair, but it will be released afterwards. So I hopefully will have met with Gareth yesterday, if you see what I mean, by the time this comes out.
Yeah.
I'm a perennially always suspicious of being had over. I'd like to point that out to everyone. So if you buy me a drink, I'm going to look at you weirdly and wonder why, and probably get off of you, to be fair, after that. But, you know. I'm suspicious of someone. I was suspicious, and I am still slightly suspicious of someone whose first name is Blag, because I think he's blagging me. So I put it to Gareth. I said, Gareth, he's made up. You've made him up when he sent it through to me. And Gareth, being the polite and funny and friendly guy that he is, said no. And he sent me a proof that he exists by a screenshot of his Facebook page. So apparently Eric Blagsvet does exist. I'm still a little bit suspicious, Gareth. You know I am. So this is 20 pages. As I said before, it's for those that read Found Forest Floor, which I'm a big fan of. I really enjoyed that. Had a more of a sort of sharply bleak artistic style to it. A lot more sort of white space. A lot of thinner pen work, thinner line work, maybe. Found Forest Floor had more of a sort of on occasion a sort of central floating image. I'm very proudly I've got an original from that book, and it was sort of sharply abstract. This the images on this one seem somehow a little bit deeper, and often with a thicker and rougher line. Occasionally he overlays images over a sort of organic grid on occasion, and he uses dots of color. Pink, pinky purple, ocean blue, orangey brown, green yellow, and they're added in a couple of different ways. There's a couple of sort of swirls, there's a brush stroke that you can see has been applied by the arc of a line from a hand, and then there's some that are sort of splattered on the page, like that sort of toothbrush effect we occasionally see. Sienkiewicz uses it, doesn't he? There's a couple of little bits, if you know what I mean by that. You, as always with Gareth's stuff, you feel and you watch, and the images play tricks on you. And it's kind of the comics equivalent of looking at a cloud and thinking you see the shape of a dog, or, you know, what's that line from the Kate Bush song? I can see Ireland in the clouds, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You referencing Kate Bush.
Look at me. Yeah. I don't know why, I just kind of got a little bit of the strands of DNA in a Petri dish stacked upon each other in a couple of the pages, really Really gorgeous stuff. They're great. And Gareth exhibits his work, or people ask to exhibit his work quite a lot. And I kind of see why. He uses a sort of framing mechanism on occasion where he uses panel borders that cut off the image. So you get a white space between the panel borders and stuff like that, which are kind of as an angular sort of counterpoint to a lot of it, which I really like that as well. I tend to look through the images first. I tend to look at the images and read them in that way before I go back and read what is kind of very randomly tracking poetry that Mr. Blagsveldt has, I think, done. Here's one page. This is how it plays with you. It's the verbal equivalent of the visual. So you think you're reading something and you're thinking it's making sense, but it kind of isn't. They're open to interpretation. So this one, and holy hell does age weigh heavy. You know it's coming, but you can't know it until it grabs your heart. Now, kind of that kind of makes sense, but it doesn't. There's nothing it leads on from. You know, it doesn't lead into or onto anything. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of abstract in the reading. And the sort of, you know, you've got like that sort of problem solving node in your brain that makes you work stuff out, but doesn't. And I kind of like that about abstract art, and I kind of like it a lot about Gareth's work, actually. Instinctually, you try and understand it. You don't have to watch Captain America jump over a building and then hit someone and fire a machine gun. You know, there's a difference to it, but it's still comics. It still works sequentially. And it means you can read it a few times, actually, and you can get different things out of it. I did on his last book, actually. I had a really interesting conversation with him the other day where I had interpreted his other book that comes out of Hackney as being the prelude to a suicide. Someone wanders through a house and turns off the electricity, turns off all the devices, puts stuff away, heats a bath up, folds their clothes and gets in a hot bath. And I said to him, this is the prelude to a suicide, because it then leads into them communicating with ghosts, you know? And he said, I think Gareth thought, well, no, but yeah, should I? He said, I'm not upset by the fact you said that, but I'm upset by the fact that I hadn't thought about that in advance. Interesting, really interesting stuff. There's some real moments of beauty in it. The artistically, definitely, there's a couple of lines that really catch you. Solitude lost instead of a natural retreat, which I thought was just a lovely line. Just that's, you know, real Wordsworth kind of, you know, poetry line for me. I just like that we sit in there and we've got this sort of morphing abstract art world in comics, as well as we've got, you know, people punching fuck out of each other. I kind of like it all, really. I think we said this with Jim Campbell a few weeks ago. Comics is one of the few mediums where we're prepared to read anything, aren't we?
Yeah.
If you're a fan of TV, you probably won't like everything. You won't like German mysteries as well as Love Island, you know, as a sort of streams. But in comics, we read pretty much anything, don't we? Really, as long as it's well done. And this is something I think people should invest in. Go to www.grthink.com. You can buy Gareth's stuff at www.grthink.bigcartel.com, and you can follow Gareth on Twitter at grthink, T-H-I-N-K, as well. Good stuff. There you go.
Nice one.
Nice.
Thank you.
My recommendation for this week is essentially a free comic you can get on Gumroad. Although I highly, because it's Gumroad, I highly suggest you throw some spondulics its way. This is by a creator who I've been interested in their artwork for a while, and, you know, first chance I've got to get some sequential stuff. And this is a 10-page sequential story called Angel by Zoe Thorogood. Have you heard of that creator?
No, I haven't.
No.
This is a creator that you want to get on board with.
Nice.
Her artwork is something that I can see her just taking off. This is a name that you need to sort of look out for, because it's just the quality. She's a very young creator, but just looking at the professionalism and the quality of the artwork and storytelling on display in this just 10 pages. And I saw some like examples on the Twitter and, you know, stuff, and that was why I was a fan of her work anyway, because just like she's done some covers and, you know, concept work as well. Already that just shows a level which is, you know, it's scary to think where she's going to go from here. But this was a chance to sort of check out a small sequential story. And what this is it says on the inside cover, Angel is a personal story about suicide, depression and family loss. These events took place in 2013 when I was 15 and in a very dark place. Please do not feel pressured to continue reading if these themes will impact you negatively. Stay safe and be kind. Oh. And what follows over the 10 pages is a beautiful, sad, there's a certain darkness to it because, you know, the narratively there's talking about thoughts of suicide and things like that. I don't want to spoil too much for anyone who's thinking about reading it, because I kind of went in a bit blind as well. But it is an autobiographical book. And as she said, the quick synopsis, as she said on her Twitter, it's a story about how a four-year-old and I quite possibly saved each other's lives. But to say, when you read that first bit, it's a personal story about suicide, depression and family loss. You know, there may be a stereotypical thought of this is going to be, you know, darkness, shadows, greys. You immediately think of, you know, colours being sucked out of, you know, a story like that because it's quite heavy. But it isn't. You know, the first panel has a really, it's a pale yellow background, and there is colour and there's life to this, even though it's quite thought provoking sort of themes going on. And the way the story sort of progresses over these 10 pages, and it is, I can tell this is autobiographical, this may be something, where it feels like something that happened, it feels realistic, but without being sort of over the top. But there's just a wonderful, it's a little character, it's like a little bubble of a character's life. And by the end, you know, it just left me with hope as well. It's a really beautiful told.
Okay, where's she from, dude? Is she English or?
She is English, I believe.
Right. Okay.
You can follow her at Zoe Thorogood. That's Thoro Good on Twitter. Like I say, she put this up on Gumroad, and she, I mean, we're recording this a little bit early, so hopefully it'll still. This will still count for when this show goes live. Because she said 50% of the profits by the end of the week. Well, it says it's free to read with donations welcome. 50% of profits by the end of the week will be donated to Mind, the charity.
Oh, nice, man.
Oh,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
I come across them through a work thing, and they offer free counselling.
Yeah.
Depending on your income, you can pay a little bit or you can get free counselling. Mind are a great charity, man. Really good.
Yeah,
we do some work with them. Okay. Raise money for them in our work.
Yeah.
So, nice one.
So, you know, even if, as we speak, maybe this comic won't be available at that time, you know, throw some money to Mind anyway. But there's a real, from a personal level, it's quite a touching story. It's quite an emotional story. There's a deftness of touch and character, and it does feel quite personal. I think this strikes all the right chords that, and by the last bit, the last panel, which is almost quite meta because she essentially talks about how like storytelling is one of the things that sort of helps her. So the last panel, and this is no spoilers, but she's drawing the comic you're reading.
Right, okay.
Which I thought was a nice touch as well. But, you know, the writing is on point as well. So I think that's really nice. I mean, I'll send it to you, the link to you guys, and also send you a copy of this. But I think, you know, everyone needs to read this because you'll see her work and you just think, surely there's going to be an image book with her name plastered all over it.
Black and white or colour?
It's colour. Yeah, full colour. Okay. There's a nice, and it's not like fully, it's nice sort of, almost pastely sort of colours to it.
Okay.
It's beautiful stuff. So, yeah. And I'd imagine, by the time this show goes live, you will have heard people talking about this little 10 pager. The cover in itself, as you know, it looks like an image book, and you'll know what I mean when you see it.
So
look for at Zoe Thorogood. I hope I've said that wrong. Sorry if I've said your name wrong, Zoe. Find her on Twitter, probably on Instagram and stuff, and like I say, follow the Gumroad link and get hold of this one. Like I said,
that'd be a good one to do a little interview with, maybe like a 10-minute.
Because she does say, and like, you know, fair play as well. She says this one was quite a difficult story to tell. You know, to talk about things like that and to be so honest, you know, it's like respect for the honesty, but to tell a story that really does leave you with, you know, a positive spin as well. So yeah,
look there at... go, man. Comics again. That's like a good example of we read all different things, don't we? Yeah. What we talked about today, abstract comics, mental illness, and you know, it's like there's all sorts of things you can talk about in there. You know?
Yeah, and yeah, as long as they're good, we'll read them. And yeah, all of these this week have been great. So go forth and check out all of the creators and books we've been talking about. And yeah, find out more about your comics printing and stuff. Get some more info. Yeah. And yeah, we look forward to seeing your printed books in the near future.
As a little aside, just quickly, I keep meaning to tell you guys this, but when I was in the hospital, I was chatting to one of the nurses, you know, sort of, I was a bit bored, and he was going, I was telling him about the podcast, and he says, oh, how often do you do that? And I said, every week. And he went, how do you find things to talk about every week?
Jesus
and I said,
Christ.
And I couldn't thought, I said, well, it's the passion, isn't it? It's, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, we could do seven a week if we wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount we talk about outside of this, you know.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's because of that. It's because it's a medium, because we've got all this different stuff coming at us all the time.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Really like it. There you go.
Yeah. There's the thing about comics is sometimes when you think, you know, the scene is quite bleak or things aren't looking good, or you hear some terrible story about like how, you know, shops are shutting down or whatever. And we are aware of this, and we talk about this, you know, probably need another show to talk about it again. But then you'll find a story, and it could be anything. It doesn't have to be personal. It could, if you like dragons fighting dragons, for God's sake, you know, you could find a story that will just reinvigorate you again and just get you really positive. And that's why we love comics. So yeah, keep making them, people. Keep making them, and we'll keep reading them.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh yeah.
And another show in the bag.
Boom. There you go.
So yeah, we hope you enjoyed this one. Hope you got something out of it. Let us know what you thought, or maybe we got something wrong. Nah, we don't get anything wrong, do we?
No. We don't apologize if we're wrong anyway. So
yeah.
Exactly. So,
well, we apologise violently.
Yeah, yeah. But if you want to let us know about a comic that we should be checking out, or an event we should be telling everyone about, then email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we'll put out a shout out and stuff, and you know, for the future shows. And Dan, I need to send you the password. I need to give you the keys to the car.
Yeah, I need the password as well.
Yeah, I have one of those. I think I changed the password. I have one of those.
I had it on my old. Don't send anything to tony.awesomecomicspod, because I can't remember the password for that moment.
Yeah, I
just send it to the regular one.
Yeah. So while we're doing all that, you can go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and we mentioned it before, but if you do Facebook and you want to talk about comics, whether it be making comics or going to comic shows, just anything in general, without any hard sell, without any money involved, you just want to talk about comics, then join the Facebook group Awesome Comics Talk. Everyone is welcome. You know,
I kicked someone out this week. The first time I've kicked anyone out.
Yeah.
He applied to join, didn't answer the questions. I was being a bit of a softy. I thought, oh, he knows two people we know, so I let him in.
Yeah.
And then he attempted to post three times a Kickstarter.
Yeah. The thing is, you don't have to be a listener to this show to be a member of that group. You can be anyone, but you've got to be respectful of people being there, and be aware of what the group is. It's not a shameless plugging system. Yeah. Unless it's about us, because then we'll just talk about whatever.
Yeah, shamelessly plug us.
Because those pages are bollocks anyway. People drop links and then fuck off. There's no interaction. They just die out.
If you've been like Mr. Super Engaged and you sort of drop a link in a conversation, look, that's fine.
Yeah.
But don't just fuck off. Don't just bend me over.
It's all about getting involved, and that means another shout out and high five to our previous guest Hugo Boylan, because he's been getting properly involved with the editing talk on
all social
media platforms, so that's good to see. Where else can you find us? Thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and leave a review. Helps get the word out. More people find out about making comics, or just new comics they need to check out, or I don't know, whatever nonsense we're talking about each week in between all the actual important stuff. If you found us on a network such as Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
Well, we're also on the famous spelunking podcast called Pod Cave Diving.
Then
I love it when I get a little dirty laugh out of Dan.
You get one every week, you know.
I know, that's how I enjoy it.
They vary in quality, the laughs, got to say.
Yeah.
What's your favourite laugh you do, Dan?
Yeah. I don't know, I can't... It's natural. I can't just conjure it up.
It's a happy bloke, can't you?
Yeah, generally.
Yeah. Happy or violent, the two.
Yeah. Where can people find Mr. Happy Bloke online, Dan?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com, which the new issue starts at the end of this month. We'll get
Yes. We'll talk a bit more about that as it comes along. Where can people find you, Tony?
You can find me on Twitter, Ezohyz, or on Kickstarter at The Spark, the new all-ages monthly comic magazine. There you go.
Yeah.
Shameless.
Shameless. Absolutely shameless. But I'm in it as well, so I'll let it off. You can find me on Twitter and social media at Instagram at Jester Diablo. You can find out more about my comic at theredmouseformmars.com. Thank you again to Adam and the guys from Mixam for joining us this week.
Yeah,
and talking about some.
He was clearly still at work, wasn't he?
He was still at work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can hear guys moving around in the background, much like you could hear a dog at one point during the show. I did notice that in the background. I don't know whether it was
me.
Well, I heard a dog in the background.
I did. I heard it as well, but it wasn't Sharknado. I don't know whose it was.
Might have been at the printer.
Yeah, it might have been, yeah.
I think it was when you were talking about your comic, Dan.
Oh, okay.
I tell you what, lads, listen back to this show and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It's not that interesting.
Sharknado's discovered football this week. I've told you, I sent you the video, didn't I?
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Because that's just like, is the ball... see you in half hour and he's knackered and just done.
Yeah. Kicks it about and he has sex with it. That's what professional footballers do anyway, isn't it?
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Have a great week. read loads of comics. Good luck making your comics. And as always, I'll tell you what, Tony, you set Dan up this week. Go on.
And as always, what do they do, Dan?
Stay awesome.
Yes.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See ya. Yeah, came over.
Oh, fucking hell. All right, Bob Dilwad.
While you were talking, I couldn't find it. I just found it then.